It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
How is it already time for week 14? Let's talk to the pros. Hello, everybody. Welcome into another episode of the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I am Ryan Warmly, joined as I am every Friday morning by Derek Brown. But D-Bro, we have a guest with us today, your friend Cody Carpentier, Director of Football and NFL Draft Analyst at PlayerProfiler.com. Cody, thank you for coming on the show.
Awesome. Thank you, Ryan. Thank you, D-Bro. I appreciate you guys having me on, as always. I feel like I just came on over the summer. D-Bro, we just talked about the Senior Bowl. We're going to see each other again in person, in the flesh.
Yes, sir.
Very few people in this whole community can do that, and we're about to do that. So I appreciate you guys having me on.
Now, I wonder, when you see D-Bro in the flesh, will he be wearing his big hat? And for anybody listening on the podcast, please come to Fantasy Pros YouTube channel and watch the video of this, if for no other reason than to see D-Bro in his big hat. D-Bro, you have the floor with this thing.
I look like Toad from Mario. I look like Dark Helmet out of Spaceballs. I mean, pick your poison, guys. This is all courtesy of Joey P., so thank you for anybody that is not enjoying this. I'm sorry, but guess what? It's here to stay, baby. So
who could possibly not enjoy it?
I was just gonna say, we got to set some over under line about how many shows I'm going to end up eventually doing with this thing on. Which, good Lord, I'm like sweating like crazy. This thing is hot, dude. The styrofoam to like fit my massive head in this thing is it's generous. It's generous, Ryan.
We've got you looking like Dark Helmet. We've got Cody looking like The Rock when he had the fanny pack with the turtleneck and the chain. Again, please, I encourage our audio listeners to come watch the video on YouTube. It's fantastic. I was the boring one who just wore a Fantasy Pros hoodie. I didn't get the memo that we were supposed to dress up today. Let's make sure everybody can find the three of us online. D-Bro's Twitter handle is at D-Bro _FFB. Cody is at Carpentier NFL. I can be found at Ryan Warmly. And of course, we can be found everywhere online at Fantasy Pros. I want to get into a little breaking news that came out earlier this week. Desmond Ridder is going to take over as Falcons quarterback after the bye. And the reason I'm bringing him up is because we have six teams on bye this week, including the Falcons. So we're not going to be talking about Atlanta at all today, but I don't want to go without mentioning this. So with him taking over at quarterback for Marcus Mariota, obviously no Kyle Pitts the rest of the year. What does this mean for Drake London? What does this mean for Cordarrelle Patterson, Tyler Allgeier? D-Bro, I'll start with you.
I honestly think it's a push, Ryan. You can't play quarterback much worse than a backyard wannabe Patrick Mahomes, aka Marcus Mariota. The catchable target rate for all of these pass catchers has been abysmal all year. I don't know if they're going to throw that much more. I mean, yes, we could see, okay, maybe it, considering, okay, upgrading quarterback play, this is still going to be a run-first offense. Really, all I want out of this, Ryan, is that please feed Drake London. Like, Ridder, like, just feed the man. Feed him. Feed him all he can take. And that's all I want out of Ritter.
You've been begging for that all season long.
Look, I like talented players to get targets. It's not that hard. Like we saw that last week. Marcus Mariota seemed like he was allergic to feeding any certain player. I mean, really, especially Drake London. So Ritter, that is my one thing. Just please feed the alpha in your offense.
It's a reasonable wish. Cody, both sort of a two-pronged question. What does this mean for all the skill position guys in Atlanta? And do you have any interest in Ritter in fantasy himself?
In fantasy, if you're stretched extremely thin, like obviously this week would have been the week if I have Justin Fields, I have Trevor Lawrence, and Fields is on bye and Trevor Lawrence is hurt, then you maybe consider it. But with a bye for Atlanta, it's like, I'm probably not going to have Desmond Ridder in fantasy in 2022. In 2023, it's a discussion, but I think they probably go out and try to get a better quarterback or an upgrade from Marcus Mariota. Again, you have the speed, 4.52, 97th percentile. We have him best comparable to Alex Smith on Player Profiler. He is slight of body, 207 pounds. He's not the biggest quarterback, but he can run the ball over 500 yards in college each of the 2018, 2019, and 2020. Does it help London? That's the big question. He had 196 air yards last week from Marcus Mariota after, you know, the connection has been the most annoying thing with Marcus Mariota. I've talked about it on my show multiple times. It's like you see Pitts out there, you see London out there, and they're getting open and they're getting in spaces where the ball should be completed and you can have these big games. He goes 6 for 95 last week, like I said, with 196 air yards. The question is, can Ritter just get the ball there? Because through the whole draft process, it was pretty apparent he had probably the weakest arm out of the entire Big Six or Big Seven, I guess, if you consider it. And it's the accuracy. The accuracy is there for Ritter in certain situations. He just doesn't have the strongest arm downfield. It floats a little bit. I just want to see if the accuracy can be even 5% better and the catchable targets can be incrementally better for the Drake Londons of the world. Olamide Zaccheaus has been a sneaky guy, but it's like that probably doesn't matter as much. You're probably just going to see more targets go to Drake London, who already has a top 10 target share in the NFL.
Again, there are six teams on bye this week: the Falcons, the Bears, the Packers, the Colts, the Saints, and the Commanders. That's a lot of teams, especially for what is for most people the regular season finale for fantasy football leagues this year. Most leagues are starting the playoffs in week 15. So it's crunch time. You need a win to clinch the playoffs, and half of your team might be on bye. So we will try and pinpoint some matchups in the show that can help you out, even on all the with all these teams not playing this week. So let's get into our first game, which is also our first pick in the over-under challenge. The over-under game is sponsored by No House Advantage, who are giving away $10,000 in weekly and season-long prizes, including a grand prize of $3,000. Check them out today at nohouseadvantage.com or download the app on the app stores. Use promo code PROS at sign up for a first deposit match up to $50. Our first over-under challenge of the day is James Cook over or under 8 fantasy points against the Jets. So be on the lookout for that as the guys share their picks for Cook and also some of their other favorite over-unders from this week's challenge throughout the show, which listeners can find at fantasypros.com/challenge. For now, let's turn to D-Bro for his key matchup in Jets Bills.
Matchup previews.
I mean, look, top of the line, it's got to be Stephon Diggs against these Jets outside corners. We know that Diggs is going to get volume in this game, but we've seen these corners. They're awesome. DJ Reed, Sauce, they are really, really good. And Justin Jefferson was talking about it as they were chirping back and forth on social media with DJ Reed. They gave help over the top last week with Justin Jefferson. I think it's the same thing you're going to see with Stephon Diggs. The question is, the Bills are going to have to move the ball. Obviously, it's going to have to be, I think, through the tertiary weapons in this offense. So that's why I'm taking the over for James Cook for the No House Advantage Challenge. And I'm also going to marry that with the over for Zonovan Knight. I think that both of these running backs are in pretty good spots, especially considering the defenses that they're going up against.
Obviously, Knight didn't play in the first meeting between these two, which took place back in week 9. Cook went 4 for 15 yards, you know, 4 rushing attempts for 15 yards in that first matchup. Diggs, just before we move on from him, 5 for 93. He got 10 targets and only caught 5 of them. Are you taking much away from that, D-Bro?
I'm not taking a ton away from that. I mean, look, you have these one-on-one matchups and stuff. I mean, any wide receiver or cornerback can win these, especially considering we know these guys are talented. DJ Reed has been playing out of his mind for the past 2 seasons, so this is not anything new, especially if they're going to give him help over the top. I mean, I worry about Stephon Diggs. Like, I still have him ranked as a wide receiver one because of the volume, but you need to probably temper your expectations this week.
Cody, what's your key matchup in this one?
Yeah, I like the great matchup he just explained with Stephon Diggs, but I'm looking the other side of the ball, Tre'Davious White and Xavier Rhodes against Garrett Wilson and Corey Davis. Garrett Wilson versus Tre'Davious White could be what really breaks this slate and breaks this game open. Tre'Davious White just played 66% of snaps last week. He's coming off of that ACL injury. Is he going to be ready to compete with the top dog right now? Garrett Wilson is the freshest, newest thing in the rookie class at the wide receiver position. And I think right now the advantage goes to Garrett Wilson. He just come off a 160-yard game against the Minnesota Vikings. If they can continue this trek with Garrett Wilson and even Corey Davis, who's been a first down and a touchdown machine over the course of the last 2 months, I think that the Jets will continue to make this game close like it was just a few weeks ago when it went back and forth the entire way. It was 17-17 in the fourth quarter. Which one of these receivers is going to make the big play? Is it going to be Diggs? Is it going to be Davis? Or is it going to be Garrett Wilson with a big play late over the top against Xavier Rhodes or against Tre'Davious White? That's kind of the big matchup that I'm looking at.
Yeah, and Garrett Wilson currently in ECR is 18th among wide receivers in half PPR. Just quickly, do you think that's too high, too low, or just right?
That might be a little low. Might be a little low. I would probably run him up there to that 13-14 area. I would like him up there.
And Cody, would you take the over or under on James Cook 8 fantasy points this week?
That's such a good line. If it was PPR, I would go over, but in half PPR, I'm leaning under just because I think that they trust him more, but they also trust that Devin Singletary can get it done on the ground. And I think they're going to want to establish the run a little bit. You know, people hate to hear that, but especially from Buffalo, they can do it with Devin Singletary, and he's a pivotal point. This locker room loves him. So I'm going to go under on Cook because I think they're going to see a lot more Singletary in this one.
I'm also going to go under on Cook. Just I've been burned by him a couple of times this year in a few of my leagues. So just sort of almost emotionally, I'm just taking the under. I just can't bring myself to trust it. I know D-Bro obviously strongly disagreed. Before we move on to the rest of the slate, let's take a second to talk about My Playbook. If you want the best possible edge over your league for the rest of the season, My Playbook is the number one in-season toolkit to help you manage your fantasy football lineups, make the best decisions, and dominate your leagues. Just sync your league with My Playbook today and get access to custom advice, player news, stats and projections, waiver and lineup suggestions, a trade analyzer, a trade finder, if your league still allows trades at this point in the year, and so much more. Check out My Playbook at fantasypros.com/myplaybook or download our Fantasy Football My Playbook app in the App Store or Google Play. Keep in mind that you have to go premium to get the most out of My Playbook. So if you're not currently a subscriber, we've got an amazing offer that gets you premium for 6 months without paying us a dime. You can check out that deal at fantasypros.com/offers. Rest of the slate here, Browns at Bengals, game number two. Cody, we'll start with you this time.
Browns and Bengals, this is a big one, and I'm looking at the quarterbacks, right? We saw Deshaun Watson come back last week against Houston. The game everyone thought Deshaun Watson would kind of break out in, and that game was a doozy. I want to see this week if he reacts, if he jumps back, and he can come back at the Cincinnati Bengals and compete with Joe Burrow in this one, or if it's going to be one-sided. I think Deshaun Watson hit a 33% completion percentage against pressures last week. He just needs to show more. They're going to establish the run. They're going to try to anyways. But Deshaun Watson, can he create a connection with Njoku if he comes back? Amari Cooper, Donovan Peoples-Jones, guys like that. I'm just staring directly in the eyes of Deshaun Watson. Can he make a change from last week to this week?
Yeah, and it's so interesting because there's really not a lot of history of guys missing that much time for non-injury reasons. So the rust question is clearly the biggest thing surrounding him right now. Nobody doubts the talent, but I it's really hard to sort of pinpoint how long you expect the rust to get shaken off when you haven't played in, 700 days, when you haven't played in front of fans since 2019. I mean, it's just been so long since we've seen Deshaun Watson doing anything on the football field that I think the rust question is really interesting. Do you think this is something that managers should expect to be gone within a couple of weeks it's shaken off, or will this sort of linger throughout the rest of the year, Cody?
That's my biggest question, right? You saw in the 50% as far as completion percentage goes against Houston, who's notoriously not a good defense right now in this time. And you look at the Bengals, the Ravens, the Saints over the course of the next 3 weeks, defenses that have strong secondaries, but they can be exploited. And then he ends with Washington in the fantasy playoffs. Like, I have a couple teams where I stashed Deshaun Watson for the stretch because I was looking forward to this. And he did have some time in the offseason to play with these guys. So the hope is that that rapport just picks back up after, 10, 15, 20 days of practice. But that's the thing, is like, maybe it doesn't. Maybe that they're so used to how Jacoby Brissett throws the ball. I mean, we should have saw this coming into last week. I can't remember who posted this video on Twitter, but it was literally practice reps of him zinging the ball at David Bell, zinging the ball at Donovan Peoples-Jones. And it was going through their hands, over their head, below. And it was like, the connection just isn't there. And it's how fast can they reconnect to where they were in the preseason, in the offseason? or if it's just going to be like this for the next 4 weeks. I think another game, that Baltimore game is really kind of where I'm expecting Deshaun Watson to be like, okay, we're starting to see the glimpse of Deshaun Watson again.
D-Bro, we've talked in the past about not taking as much low-hanging fruit on the show, and yet your first two players you're talking about, Stephon Diggs in the last game, and now Ja'Marr Chase in this game.
Well, I bring up Ja'Marr Chase because Joe Burrow's ceiling and the ability for the Bengals to run away with this game, yes, it could be a Joe Mixon game and all that type of stuff. But with Joe Burrow, his ceiling has been so heavily correlated throughout his NFL career to Ja'Marr Chase. Like when Chase pops off for big games, Joe Burrow goes along with it. You don't see Joe Burrow going nuclear in the games that where Chase is quiet. So I think this is a big Joe Burrow game, and that leads me to discuss Chase here. And a lot of this is how the Browns play coverage. They are a zone-heavy team. You have Martin Emerson, Denzel Ward. 56 to 63% of their coverage snaps are in zone. Ja'Marr Chase, he's the highest graded wide receiver on the Cincinnati Bengals roster per PFF against zone, with the most yak per reception against zone. So again, I think that Burrow, if he has a massive game, his ceiling is so heavily correlated to Ja'Marr Chase. I think both of them are going to smash here.
Well, and to that point, this is another game where the two teams have played already this season. The Browns won 32-13. The Bengals didn't have Chase. I mean, they were led by Higgins, Hurst, Boyd, Mixon, and the numbers weren't good. Obviously, it was a game that got away from them early, and that it was a Monday night game, I think. So, yeah, again, I'm not sure how much you can take away from that, especially like just the difference maker that Chase is. Let's move to game three, Texans at Cowboys. D-Bro, I'll start with you here.
Going to focus on the Dallas run game. And yes, no, this is not me taking the low-hanging fruit again. But we have to bring this up. And I want to discuss this as far as the overall context of this offense. Since Dak Prescott has been back, so since week seven, week eight, Dallas has been running at a really high pace. They're eighth in neutral script pace. But the other part of this, they're not throwing the ball a ton. They're 10th in neutral rushing rate. So yeah, like Houston secondary doesn't scare me a lot. They're just as bad as the run defense, but the thing is, you don't see teams pass against them a ton because they could just run all day, and that's what Dallas has been doing. So if you're looking at pass catchers in this offense, I think we need to bump down projections for Michael Gallup, not that he's been standout or fantastic. And we also need to possibly shade Dalton Schultz a little bit in this game. CeeDee Lamb is going to get his. He does that every single week. But with a really, really good rushing matchup, and as much as Dallas has been limiting the passing volume, we know that you can run on Houston, and that's going to affect some of the Dallas pass catchers.
In ECR, Tony Pollard is 9th this week, and Zeke is 13th. You have them 10th and 14th. So you're right there in line with consensus. Cody, what are you looking at in this one?
I'm looking at Nico Collins. Nico Collins is kind of what's keeping, I know I love Damian Pierce. I know D-Bro loves Damian Pierce. But Nico Collins is kind of what's keeping this Texans offense, I guess you could say, afloat, even though I don't think it's floating. I think it's more sinking than anything. But the total in this game went from 47.5 down to 44.5 currently. And the line went from 16.5 to 17.5. So it's going up. Everybody knows they're going to run the ball. Everybody knows Dallas is going to run the ball because Houston can't stop a nosebleed on the front. It's, can Houston score? And if Nico Collins can do anything, he's got 36 targets over the last four games with just 19 receptions. Nico Collins has been taking that next step up very silently. In Dynasty, it's a guy that I'm continuing to add. And people are like, well, it's Nico. He hasn't done it in 2 years. Yeah, but again, 24 games in with multiple quarterbacks. Give him a chance. I think Nico Collins against Trayvon Diggs. The catchable target rate for Nico Collins right now is very low. It's 50% from these Houston quarterbacks. Trayvon Diggs is going to go and try to get a pick or two. It's going to leave air and caution for Nico Collins to catch a ball over the top and kind of do something to elevate this Houston offense.
How aggressively would you be ranking him this week? He's down at wide receiver 38, so a high-end wide receiver 4 this week, according to consensus. Would you be higher than that, it sounds like?
It's a tough matchup. Don't get me wrong. I think you could get away with putting him in that 26 to 30 area. It's a very tough matchup, and it's kind of their big feature right now. Right, nobody's going to really care about Chris Moore, Philip Dorsett. Brevin Jordan has done a little bit over the last few weeks, but other than stopping the run, Nico Collins is the main guy, and Trayvon Diggs should feel confident in beating him, but we know Trayvon Diggs can get beat. So I'm assuming the targets are going to continue to be there for Nico. I wouldn't have him much higher than probably the 28th or 26th wide receiver this week, but I could see him popping up and being a very conservative wide receiver too when the results come in.
Sticking with you, Cody, for Vikings at Lions.
Yeah, this is a big one that came back in, I think it was like week four, week five, when the Vikings played the Lions. And Jeff Okuda wanted to talk all the smack after the game because they limited Justin Jefferson in that game. That's really what kept it close. Can they do it again? Can Detroit slow down the Vikings pass game and get a win against the Vikings and continue this hot streak? The Vikings looked like they're about to clinch the North. But limiting Justin Jefferson has to be the number one key. They almost beat the Vikings the last time around. They were up 24-14 in the third quarter before Alexander Mattison and KJ Osborne took over and kind of finished that game out for the Vikings, which is what they've been doing all year. Can you slow down Justin Jefferson and make the run game beat you? That's the number one goal for the Detroit Lions this week.
Yeah, kind of crazy just talking about can the Lions win, starting off as underdogs and now the favorites by a point and a half, maybe 2 points, depending where you're looking. That game back in week three was 28-24 Vikings. You know, you look at Justin Jefferson here. I'm trying to find. Oh, yeah. 3 for 14 and 6 targets was the official stat line. So I think that has to definitely be his worst game of the season, if I'm remembering correctly. Debra, what are you looking at here?
I like the Jefferson call, and a lot of that, and I wrote this up in the primer too, the Lions played man coverage at an insane rate when they played the first time. Jefferson opened the season struggling against man coverage, so I think he has a bounce back game here. But on the other side of the ball, what are we going to get out of DeAndre Swift? He was off the injury report last week. Now he's opened the week with the limited practice. Did he tweak his ankle last week with the ramp up of the workload? I think it's a question mark. It's volatile, guys, but I think he has got to be pivotal to what the Lions are going to do. Yes, you can throw. Yes, you can pass on the Vikings secondary. That's not in question at all. So big games for the Sun God, big game for DJ Chark. But DeAndre Swift could also have a big game in his own right if he's fully healthy and if they run him out there. With him garnering the passing down work, that's where you beat the Vikings. Their run defense is fantastic. I mean, since week 10, 11th in rushing success rate, 9th in EPA per rush, but over the whole season, 24th in DVOA against receiving backs, 6th most receptions, and 5th most receiving yards. So DeAndre Swift, even if he doesn't get it done on the ground, he can get it done in the passing game.
First of all, not that this is going to be a surprise, but that was Jefferson's worst game of the year by far. Mm-hmm. Second of all, just on this Lions rushing attack, do you think that like DeAndre Swift is sort of, I hesitate to use the word like back, but like, do you think that it is going to continue to move in the direction of him getting more and more of the workload in this backfield and seeing Jamal Williams sort of phased out, sort of what we would have expected at the beginning of the year?
So I think it really comes down to his health. I mean, and the hard part about this is that the Lions play so many little games with their injury reports. Like you see in recent weeks where they've had certain receivers that have been not practicing the entire week, i.e. Josh Reynolds. And they're like, oh, we'll list him as questionable. It's like, no, that dude is doubtful. He's not going to play. And then they rule him out on Saturday. Or you have DeAndre Swift, who's on the injury report, and then he practices in full all week, and then he doesn't get anywhere close to a real workload for multiple weeks. It's volatile, Ryan. I mean, I'm worried about it. I think that there's an avenue, and I'm hoping that we see the same type of workload that we saw last week, but him popping up on the injury report this week, it does scare me.
Before we move on with the show, I want to take a quick second to let you know about Monkey Knife Fight. Play any $10 NFL or college football contest and automatically win $50 if your player gains a single yard. It's basically a guaranteed win and on top of the 100% deposit match. Use promo code BOOST50. Promo ends Monday. Let's move to Eagles at Giants. Cody, what's the key matchup here?
This is going to be a big one for the Giants as they host the Philadelphia Eagles. Are they going to make the playoffs? 7-4-1. We know they started off hot, 6-1. Can they finish the job? Offensive line versus defensive line is exactly what I'm looking at. Both these defensive lines are top 10 in pressures, 24% each. Can Dexter Lawrence, can Aziz Ojulari, and can Kayvon Thibodeau get home against Jalen Hurts? Can they slow down this passing attack? Can they slow down Jalen Hurts at all? Or will the other side of the ball, will the Eagles get home with the massive depth that they have, Jordan Davis coming back? Can they get home against Daniel Jones and this New York Giants offense? Because if he can, if the Eagles can go home at all, the Giants offense is going to be equated to nothing. And I really don't see a path for the Giants to win if they can't block the Fletcher Coxes of the world, the Jordan Davises or the Hassan Reddicks. I know they lost Robert Quinn over the last few days, but I really am focusing on just on the trenches in this one, because Dexter Lawrence on the other side of the ball for the Giants, he is probably the best defensive tackle in football right now, arguably. And the young guys, Ojulari and Kayvon Thibodeau, I really want to see them have a breakout game against this Eagles offensive line, but it's going to be tough because both these offensive lines and defensive lines match up very, very well.
Do you think on the side of the Eagles defensive line, not just getting home against Daniel Jones, but do you think that they can do a good job of bottling up Saquon?
Obviously, that's the goal. They've gotten beat against the run a lot this year, but they've shown great growth, especially against Derrick Henry last week. It all depends on how the Giants expect to use him. If they try to run between the tackles, probably not going to do very well. But if they can get Saquon to the outside, I think Saquon will really save this game for the Giants. I really don't see a path of victory, like I said, for the Giants in this one, because I just think they're going to get overpowered. But if they can get Saquon on the outside, I think he can excel.
Debra, talk to me about another star receiver.
AJ Brown, baby. I think that, yes, there are avenues for Miles Sanders to have a fantastic game in this one. The Giants can't stop the run. But I really think this is going to be another nuclear game from AJ Brown. He has crushed man coverage all season long. The Giants run man coverage at one of the highest rates in the NFL, a little bit over half of their coverage snaps. AJ Brown against man. He is fifth in PFF receiving grade. He is sixth in yards per route run. So while Jalen Hurts can have a day, Miles Sanders is going to have a really good day against the run defense, AJ Brown is going to crush the secondary.
Just quickly, D-Bro, over under wide receiver 4.5, where would you rank him rest of season?
For AJ Brown, I'd rank him at 4.
Okay. Our consensus rankings have him at 6 behind Tyreek, Devontae, Jefferson, Diggs, and CeeDee. Do you know off the top of your head which of those guys you'd put him over?
I put Jefferson, Tyreek, and probably Diggs over him. I think anybody else.
Not Devontae.
I mean, look, you can make a case for Devontae. I mean, I think too, but if we're talking about better offensive system, we're talking about higher scoring potential on a weekly basis. Yeah, Devontae gets fed. AJ Brown is that dude. I've been talking about it since the preseason. He's always been that dude. Jalen Hurts is the same. This offense is fantastic, and they're going to keep putting up points for the rest of the season.
Let's move to clearly the game of the week, the Lamar Jackson-less Ravens against the Steelers. D-Bro, what's the key matchup here?
Ryan's game of the week. For me, it's got to be Pat Freiermuth going against this Baltimore defense. I mean, since Chase Claypool has not been on this roster, Pat Freiermuth has been eating. 23% target share, 22% end zone target share. He has been at the precipice of a monster game over multiple weeks. You'll see Freiermuth pop off for 70, 80 receiving yards, no touchdowns. Or he gets a touchdown and the receiving yards aren't there. I think this is the game where he could put both together and finish as top two, top three tight end on the week against a Baltimore defense that is 22nd in DVOA against tight ends and allowing the fourth highest catch rate. You really want to stay away from these Baltimore outside corners. Like, man, Marcus Peters isn't great. But Marlon Humphrey, no. You don't want any part of that. So really, it all sets up for Patty Fry to just eat.
There's also a chance Marcus Williams is back this week, the very highly paid free safety that the Ravens signed in the offseason, who has had a broken wrist since, I forget what week it was, but since early in the year. And the Ravens also historically have done a tremendous job against rookie quarterbacks the first time they face them. They're one of these defenses like the Patriots where it's very difficult to go up against them as a rookie. So we'll be really curious to see what that defense looks like since they've been playing so well lately, the fourth quarter against Jacksonville aside. Cody, what's the key matchup for you?
I'm looking at the other side of the ball. I'm looking at Tyler Huntley against T.J. Watt and Alex Highsmith. T.J. Watt's only been back for a few weeks, but he's getting that 80% snap share on defense. Three quarterback hits and a half sack in the last three games. Last year in this game, it was 16-13. Pittsburgh Steelers beat the Baltimore Ravens in overtime with Tyler Huntley at quarterback. He got a sack and three quarterback hits on Huntley specifically in that game. Him and Alex Highsmith on that defense, can they get past this Baltimore Ravens offensive line that I've ranked number 5 on playerprofiler.com with Ronnie Stanley at the linchpin at left tackle? Can Watt and Highsmith get home against Tyler Huntley and kind of make him get the ball out early? Because last year he was 16 for 31. He had a 50% completion percentage with 12 carries on the ground. I hesitate to say that I think Pittsburgh can get home on Tyler Huntley, I think Huntley's going to have this offense to himself. He's going to run the ball similar to Lamar Jackson. That's why they have Huntley there. 12 carries last year. I don't see the recipe changing for John Harbaugh in this offense. It was 13-13, like I said, going into overtime against Pittsburgh. Same recipe, slow down the pass rush, and Huntley can win this game.
Yeah, it's a little scary for me just thinking about Ronnie Stanley against the Steelers, because that was the game where he had the just unbelievably devastating ankle injury that has really continued to affect him for 2 years at this point. With Huntley, are you more curious and interested in watching him in terms of his fantasy value, or in terms of sort of similar to Ridder, what he means for Mark Andrews and maybe Devin Duvernay, Gus Edwards, etc.?
I would probably be more looking at what he's got, because like we saw the carries for him last year. He had 12 attempts in that game. They also had Latavius Murray, who had 16 and went off for 150, happened to in that game. But I think Tyler Huntley as himself has enough of a rushing upside with Mark Andrews there. I'm not really worried, because Mark Andrews kind of does his own thing, and Duvernay I'm not really playing much of. But if you can get Huntley in certain spots, I wouldn't be against playing him.
Last game on the early afternoon slate, Debra, I'll start with you for Jags at Titans.
Christian Kirk, baby. This is going to be a Kirk game. Roger McCreary in the slot has not been good. 73% catch rate, 113 pass rating. I know Trevor Lawrence, we're like, is he going to play? Is he not? Even if it's C.J. Beathard under center, it's not hard to dice up this Titans secondary. They've allowed the most fantasy points per game to opposing wide receivers, 12th most fantasy points per game to opposing slot wide receivers. So Christian Kirk, regardless of whoever's throwing him the ball, he's going to get open versus McCreary.
Cody, what are you looking at in this one?
I'm looking at Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry has been cold as of the last few weeks. He hasn't won over 100 yards since week 9 against Kansas City. And in this game against Jacksonville, people remember when he went against Houston, he had 200 plus yards and 2 touchdowns in that game, giving him 6 in his career, 4 against Houston. The other 2 are against Jacksonville. This is a get right game for Derrick Henry. Going over 200 yards and scoring 2 touchdowns would right the ship for this team after suffering 2 losses at Cincinnati and Philadelphia, and give him 7 200-plus yard, 2-plus touchdown games in his career. The next best is Barry Sanders and LaDainian Tomlinson with 3. I think this is a get-right game for Derrick Henry, and they're going to lean into him.
Is there any chance that, you know, I know he's usually really good late in the year, obviously, because he wears people down. Just as he gets older, the physicality eventually sort of wears on you. Is there any chance that we might see him drop off this December, as opposed to what he's done in previous Decembers, which is carry teams to fantasy victories?
I would tend to say yes, but we're talking about a human that is 6'3", 6'4", 250 pounds, and they get Jacksonville, the Chargers, and Houston. I don't know. History just doesn't repeat itself, and we see it again this December. It just feels like clockwork with Derrick Henry. Yeah, he has a few bad games. Boom. Normally, we don't get this much in the early part of the season from weeks 4 to 9. It usually starts now, but I think you're just going to get a revamp. These couple matchups have been tough. Philadelphia, of course, has been pretty allowing of the rushing against opponents this year, but that game against Tennessee where they completely focused and took him out of the game was pretty pivotal.
Yeah, you just look at the rushing yards totals in the last few weeks, 30, yeah. 38, 87, 53. So it's not, you know, these huge triple digit games recently, but yeah. Again, that schedule the next 3 to 4 weeks is pretty awesome.
Juicy.
Crazy.
Yeah, let's move to the late afternoon slate here. Chiefs at Broncos. Cody, I'll start with you.
Chiefs at Broncos. I'm looking at Juju. I'm looking at Kelsey in the slot. Again, Isang Basie and Justin Simmons over the top. Can Simmons come in and kind of be that Derwin James over the top guy that slows down Kelsey? We know this defense limits all games. Can this Denver Broncos defense limit this game and bring Kansas City down into the 20s as far as scoring goes? We know Denver's probably not going to get up into the 20s, but at least when you make it a game, keep them in the 17 to 20 to 23 range, and don't let Kelsey take the top off, and don't let Marquez Valdes-Scantling go down the sideline. I think on the outside, there's not really a question. It's all this internal stuff in the slot and up the seam with Kelsey and Juju against Isang Basie, who's a top 40 cornerback, and Justin Simmons, who we know is an all-pro over the top.
Man, when was the last time we saw a team with this level of disparity between offense and defense? I really cannot remember the last time it was this extreme. We've seen it extreme before with the Broncos, actually, you know, in Peyton Manning's last year. Mm-hmm. Great defense. Obviously, you know, not quite the same arm for him. But this has got to be as extreme as it's ever been, right?
It's embarrassing. It truly is embarrassing. The fact that they bring in a quarterback like this, the expectation of quarterback like this, and they just can't do anything on offense. Even when you know, like, there's adequate run game, this offensive line is top 10 as far as the run game goes, and then you have talents on the outside like Cortland Sutton. Even if there's one dude, like, we're seeing the Las Vegas Raiders with a similar offensive build, where other than having Josh Jacobs, like, they have a wide receiver on the outside. Get him the ball. Get the ball downfield. You have an athletic tight end. Get him the ball. And they just haven't been able to complete drives or do much. It's kind of embarrassing, especially with the defense that you have, which is, you know, this defense is good enough to win you a Super Bowl. And we all knew it was a quarterback away. They just got the wrong one.
Wrong quarterback, and they hired an offensive-minded head coach, and he also appears to be the wrong one. I do a weekly spot here in Denver for TV, and basically every week they're dancing around the question of, so how long is this thing going to play out the string? Like, is he going to be gone soon? I'm like, yeah, he probably should be. Really embarrassing all the way around. That's really the best word for it. D-Bro, what's your matchup?
I mean, looking at any type of hope for the Denver Broncos is going to have to go through Jerry Jeudy. And I am going to take the over on his fantasy points line, which is sitting at 10 for the No House Advantage over under challenge. And this comes down to not so much Jerry Jeudy, but how bad Casey has been against opposing slot wide receivers. Legarius Sneed has not been good. 73% catch rate, 102 passer rating. Kansas City has given up the fourth most fantasy points per game to opposing slot wideouts. So it's nasty. It's nasty and mile high, but I still think that Jerry Jeudy can walk away with this with a solid stat line.
Yeah, Andrew Erickson, of course, one of our other analysts, contributes TikTok videos for the Fantasy Pros account, which everybody should go check out. And today he dropped a video basically explaining all the reasons that Jerry Jeudy is a must start this week. But you are actually higher on him, D-Bro. You have him 22nd among wide receivers, and Erickson has him 23rd. So you're even a bit more bullish. Before we move on with the show, let's take a moment to talk about Manscaped. It's never too early to play holiday music, and it's never too early to start thinking about gifts. Whether it's for a friend or the friends in your pants, you can make this a season to be jolly with Manscaped. Do your little drummer boy a favor and use the Lawnmower 4.0 to avoid another silent night in the bedroom. Then add in Manscaped's top-of-the-line shower products to have the people thinking, all I want for Christmas is you. Santa cares about his sack, and so should you. Look nice when you get naughty by going to manscaped.com and use code JOEYP for free shipping and 20% off. When you have to deal with all your crazy relatives during the holidays, the best way to get through the mayhem is to feel confidence. Well, that and comfort. And Manscaped gives you that confidence and comfort by looking and feeling good in all your most important areas. The Manscaped Platinum Package 4.0 is the one-stop shop for the man who deserves it all. It has everything needed to help you deck the halls from face to balls just in time for mistletoe season. The Lawnmower 4.0 body trimmer and the Weed Whacker nose and ear hair trimmer feature proprietary advanced skin-safe technology to protect your delicate presence. Plus, both are waterproof, so there's no issue clearing the snow out of your driveway. Oh, and there's also a 4000K LED light on it, so you can light the way like Rudolph. The Platinum Package 4.0 sitting under the tree is guaranteed to put anyone in the holiday spirit. And for that perfect stocking stuffer, add in the brand new Body Buffer, an incredible body scrubber that makes exfoliating easy and a lot cleaner than that old loofah. So remember, get 20% off and free shipping with code JOEYP at Manscaped. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code JOEYP. Manscaped, get your jingle balls ready for the holidays. Let's move to Panthers at Seahawks. And D-Bro, I'll start with you this time.
Yeah, it's tried and true. It just comes down to, okay, what kind of coverage does the team run? If it's man, DK Metcalf week. If it's zone, it's Tyler Lockett week. And it is Tyler Lockett week, baby. You have the Carolina secondary since week 10, 73 to 76% zone in their coverage. Lockett has eaten up zone all year long. 64% of his target volume has come against zone coverage. He's 8th in PFF receiving grade, 13th in yards per route run. I know that DK Metcalf had a really good week last week, considering it was heavy zone coverage. Lockett got over a 30% target share against that last week. He is going to crush this week.
We are so close to a true consensus among the Fantasy Pros experts. We have him ranked 15th, 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 and then Joey P has him 19th. He is dragging everything down. But having said that, from what you're just describing, 15 almost seems a little low, D-Bro?
It does. It seems low. I'm going to move him up. Where do I put you? Oh, Tyler Lockett. Wide receiver 10. I'm going to kick him above Amari Cooper, Jalen Waddle. Yes, because Look, when he has had these explosion games, it has not been little, it has not been small, it has been massive. And Seattle, do we really think that Carolina is going to put up that much of a fight on the other side? I don't. So I think Lockett is just going to absolutely just cut the secondary in half.
Cody, what are you looking at here?
I'm focusing in on the offensive line for the Carolina Panthers. They have been right around that 8 to 13 area for me. As far as the offensive line rankings go, they go 19, the run blocking rating, and they've given up 26 sacks, which is right in the middle of the road. But the Seattle defense has given up over 1,800 total rushing yards this year. That's fourth in the NFL. And when you look at last week, 2 weeks ago when Carolina played Denver and they won that game 23-10 against a very strong Denver defense, they scored 23 points because they established the run. They had 45 carries in that game between Deontay Foreman and Chuba Hubbard. It looks like Deontay will be playing in this one. They had over 200 yards rushing. They had nearly 200 yards rushing combined, over 200 as a team. And they basically are keeping the ball out of Darnold's hand. He only had 19 attempts in that game against Denver. Don't cause turnovers, run the ball. This offensive line is good enough to slow down the Seahawks defense and score some points. Looking for them to run the ball a lot and this offensive line to run the game.
Cody, I'd like to get you to weigh in on earlier this week. Debro and I did a show. We had some disagreement on Foreman and just how highly he should be ranked this week. He was a little lower. I was a little higher. He's actually moved up quite a bit in the last 2 days. When we talked about it last time, he was ranked 32nd in ECR. I think that was people sort of trying to catch up to, like, maybe from the bye week a little. He's now all the way up to 20, which I'm a lot more comfortable with, obviously. If anything, that might be a little too high. Where around do you think you should have him? Because I said 32 is too low, and Debro kind of scoffed at me.
We have him at 33 on Player Profiler. So I thought where he was when you said it the first time, I was like, ooh, that's spot on. We have him right between Brian Robinson and James Cook, the aforementioned Big Hat and James Cook, the aforementioned with the No House Advantage prop. Deontay Foreman at 33, he's coming off an injury, or he's going into the game with an injury. Expect Chuba to have a little more of the rushing attack in this game. I don't think you can expect a top 20 game out of Deontay Foreman in this week.
And I will just say for the record, in cases where I disagree with both Debro and Cody, I would recommend our listeners to side with Debro and Cody. So go ahead and ignore what I said. Let's move to game number 10, Bucks at 49ers. Debro, I'll start with you here.
Yeah, again, I talked about Kenny Pickett staying away from the outside corners for the Ravens. Brock Purdy needs to do the same thing with the Buccaneers. That's the teeth of their defense. Assuming that they do get some guys back from injury and such. That means, look, he needs to be targeting George Kittle. George Kittle turned into a ghost. He was invisible last week. He needs to make a comeback this week. And the Buccaneers have been giving it up to tight ends. 21st in DVOA, 5th most receiving touchdowns allowed to the position, and the 8th highest catch rate to tight ends. So George Kittle, while we do see him disappear from time to time, and I understand that blocking is going to be a big thing for him this week against the Bucs pass rush, I think that he is also going to have to be involved in the passing game.
Now that we've had sort of a few days to think on it, we've talked about this a couple of times early in the week, but just generally, I'll ask you again, Debro, like Brock Purdy, like what sort of negative impact does this have on all these skill position guys in San Francisco?
I wrote this up in the primer. It drops the ceiling for all of these guys. I mean, then that's one of the things that you look at George Kittle, like you deal with the George Kittle dud games because you continue to keep rolling him out there in lineups because when he hits, he can legit win you a week. Now, I think that type of ceiling is evaporated. That's gone with Purdy under center. Can he still be a top three tight end? Sure, but like him to explode for like 120 receiving yards, multiple touchdowns, I don't think that's in the range of outcomes. But the other guys, you have to drop them as well. Debo's wide receiver three now. Brandon Ayuk is a high-end three, low-end two. It is what it is. Brock Purdy, while he's got cool nicknames that are going across social media and stuff, which I'm not going to bring up here, it doesn't mean that he's going to be a good NFL quarterback. He was drafted low for a reason, and that's because, well, he's not great.
Cody, what are you looking at in this one?
Looking at this Bucs offensive line, I'm staying in the trenches here. This Bucs offensive line has been almost in shambles all year. It feels like every couple weeks there's another injury. Dating all the way back to the preseason, Tristan Wirfs now is not there at left tackle, but Tampa Bay Tom has been able to win a few of these games. Can the Bucs offensive line slow down the 49ers defense of line just enough time to give Tom time? He just needs 2.5 seconds. You saw the graphic on Monday Night Football. Less than 2.5 seconds to get the ball out, and he's over 70% in completion percentage. If he holds onto the ball any more than 2.5 seconds, it's bad news. We're in the 50% threshold for Tom Brady. Get the ball out early, protect against Nick Bosa, and Tampa Bay can get the ball downfield ever so slowly. We've seen the games. You're talking about limiting the ceiling for the San Francisco offense with Brock Purdy. Yes, they're probably going to want to run the ball. Get the ball to Christian McCaffrey. Get the ball to Deebo in the short quadrants and let them move. George Kittle as well. We've seen the low games, though. We've seen them score 13 against the Saints. We've seen them score 14 against the Falcons and lose. 10 against the Broncos and lose. It's going to be a yucky game like that. And I think Tampa Bay has an advantage because they have Tom in comparison to Brock Purdy. With Brock Purdy, he might get antsy. If they can get up 10-13-3 on the 49ers, Brock Purdy's going to maybe feel like he has to go into hero mode, and that could cause turnovers, and that's exactly what Tampa Bay wants. Can Tom move the ball downfield? Can the Buccaneers offensive line slow down the Niners front seven that has been lethal over the last month?
Byron Leftwich, offensive coordinator for the Bucs, had a quote on Thursday this week where he said, "This is not fantasy football. It's about winning games all the time." That is my absolute favorite thing when fantasy football managers say, "Hey, like, maybe use your talented players more." And coaches are like, "It's not fantasy football. It's about winning." Like, I'm sure that's worked out well for Arthur Smith or the Bucs this year. So NFC South coaches keep being dumb.
Ever understand those quotes. It's like, it's about winning football games. Okay, you win football games by putting up points.
Yeah.
Fantasy points are scored by players playing well and your offense putting up points. Both of those things go hand in hand. So you're saying it's about putting up points? No. Like, that, it's... Ooh,
this is a symbiotic relationship. It's not one or the other. Fantasy football and winning are not mutually exclusive.
No. Score points, we get fantasy points. You score points, you get wins. You don't score points, that's about football. What about fantasy? Like, get out of here.
We could set aside probably like a 40-minute rant for us.
Oh,
to
I could keep going
about
easily.
That easily. But for now, we will move on to the primetime games. Sunday Night Football, Dolphins at Chargers. Debra, I'll start with you.
Well, I keep talking about star players, but we look at how these matchups are rolling out this week. It's Austin Eckler against this Miami run defense. They are extremely good at stopping the run. They're top 12 in rushing success rate, rushing yards per game, and explosive run rate allowed. Where they are vulnerable is versus receiving backs. And I have to bring up Eckler here because people will look at the full season stats for the Miami Dolphins and say, the secondary is bad. It's really bad. Yes, they were really bad to start the season. That has not been the case over the last few weeks. Xavien Howard was banged up to start the year. He got torched religiously to begin the season. He has been awesome over the last 4 to 5 games. So if we're talking about, okay, the wide receivers are going to have an uphill climb, Austin Eckler is going to have to be peppered with checkdowns, and Justin Herbert has no problem doing that. Miami against receiving backs, 22nd in DVOA. They're allowing the 8th most receiving yards to running backs and the 6th highest yards per reception. So Eckler could easily lead them in targets this week.
Eckler has been, I mean, obviously he was a first round pick, but even being a first round pick because he was late in the first round, he's really been a league winner this year for a lot of guys. I just want to ask you quickly, like, rest of season, which I guess is really just asking, like, for the fantasy playoffs, where would you rank him? Is 3 matchups from weeks 15 to 17, Tennessee at Indy, home against the Rams.
Eckler has been my RB1 for rest of the season. He's remaining my RB1 because it does not matter. He's matchup proof. If he doesn't get it done on the ground, he's going to get 12 to 15 targets through the air and just rack it up. And he's still getting all of the red zone work for the Chargers. So I don't care. Look, Eckler is what we wanted Christian McCaffrey to be this year. That is what he's doing and what he's done. So he's the RB1 in fantasy. He's got to be the RB1 in rest of season ranks.
Cody, I know you want to look at the head coaches in this one.
I couldn't agree more, though, in the running game with Austin Eckler. Like, he's going to be a feature of this entire game. But what I'm looking for is, we all know this is going to be a great game. This might be the best Sunday Night Football game of the year as far as the young talent goes, with Tua, with Justin Herbert, with these passing attacks, with these overall teams and their defenses, with the amount of talent on the field for both sides, whether you look at records or not, is unquestioned. My big question is, Brandon Staley has gotten a bad rap over the last 2 months because of some decisions he's made. Mike McDaniel is looked at as a goofy head coach, but Mike McDaniel has been awesome. Which one of these coaches is going to make the wrong decision down the stretch that's going to cost this game? Are one of them going to go for it on fourth down? Who's going to go for it on fourth down? What are the game scripts coming in? Because when you look at Mike McDaniel, they stayed out west this week after playing in California last week. Will they correct their wrongs from getting beat by San Francisco last week? They're in the middle of a 3-game crunch. They have to go to Buffalo next week. 3 consecutive road games. This is another tough one. Will Mike McDaniel fix his wrongs from last week, or will Brandon Staley kind of come up and take Justin Herbert over the top and kind of come back and beat these Miami Dolphins? This is really my biggest thing. I know you talk about Austin Eckler, you talk about Tyreek Hill, the quarterbacks. It is what it is. I'm going to be watching these coaches very closely this week.
Yeah, and it's a good thing that we have such a great Sunday night matchup, because the other primetime games aren't great. I think between the six teams in primetime this week, even including the Dolphins 8-4 record, the combined record of all six of these teams, I think it's 32-40. It's just not, a great slate here. But this one is sort of the shining. Everybody's going to have a lot of fun watching that. Let's move to the last game, one of those ugly primetime games. Patriots at Cardinals on Monday Night Football. Cody, I'll start with you.
Mac Daddy, Mac Jones versus pressure. The Cardinals have been top 10 in pressuring the quarterback, and Mac Jones is 27th with a 34.4% completion percentage against pressure. Can Mac get the ball out? Can Mac get the ball downfield and complete it? Or is the Cardinals defense just going to run it up on him? That's my main focus. Mac Jones hasn't been as special as he looked during year one in 2021. He had that big game against the Vikings where he had 380 yards. They still lost. There's a lot of garbage time. He hasn't looked great. Can he defy the odds against this pressure and continue to excel in this offense? They're 6-6 going into this game. This is almost a must win for the Patriots if they think they're going to make the playoffs.
If Mac Jones has a good day, is it Jacoby Myers that's the pass catcher you want?
I think so. I mean, every week it's different, right? It feels like it's like, oh, well, now Jonnu caught four balls, or, oh, Tyquan Thornton is healthy and he's going to catch a target. Devontae Parker, oh my God, he was inactive and now he's catching eight balls. It's like, every week I want to play Jacoby Myers. I have a lot of Jacoby Myers and a lot of Tyler Boyd on my FFWC teams because they're so valuable in fantasy. I trust it every week with Jacoby Myers, and some weeks you get it and some weeks you don't. It's just the nature of the Patriots offense.
Debro, what are you looking at in here?
If the Cardinals are going to pull off the win this week, the Patriots run defense has been elite. I think James Conner is going to get stonewalled the entire game, so I have him bumped down in my ranks. If the Cardinals win this game, it's going to have to be on the back of Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins and these pass catchers. Hopkins has been on a tear since he came back. Like, he's just setting the league on fire. Like, all right, fine. You're going to suspend me? I'm going to just rip all of these pass defenses apart. And Kyler Murray, he's been up and down. He's played much, much better since DeAndre has come back. But if the Cardinals pull off the win against New England, it's going to have to be through the air, because they are not going to get anything done on the ground.
And then lastly, just on this game also, Debro, Hunter Henry going up against this Cardinals defense. I mean, how good of a smash spot is this?
I mean, it's a heaven matchup, dude. It's so fantastic. Like, Hunter Henry, I do not understand. And we talked about this on the Start Sit show. Like, why is he not a top 10 tight end this week in ECR? Like, he was tight end 13 last time I looked. Like, I've got him comfortably inside my top 10. He's going to crush. It's Arizona. They give up everything to tight ends. Like, they're top three in anything that you look at versus tight ends. So Hunter Henry, I talked about him in the waiver wire column to stash him ahead for this matchup. Start him. Start him confidently.
He's moved up to 12th in ECR. You've got him 9th currently. So does Erickson and Fitz. So a lot of consensus there that he's a little underranked. Again, to remind everybody, the bye week teams: Falcons, Bears, Packers, Colts, Saints, Commanders. If you have those guys and for some reason haven't looked yet, get them out of your lineups. Let's open up the mailbag here for one question to end the show.
Let's dig into the listener mailbag.
It's a good time to remind the listeners, if they want even more access to our analysts, be sure to join us on Discord at fantasypros.com/chat. A premium subscription will get listeners full access to our analysts through AMAs, stages, and more. As I say every week, Debro is on there all the time, so you can definitely get your questions answered whenever you want to ask them. The question this week, it's actually going back to the first game we talked about, is Bam Knight, Zonovan Knight, a top 25 play, even if Michael Carter plays this week? Debro, starting with you.
I'll probably have him ranked somewhere around there. I think he's an RB2. It could get messy with Carter back. It could easily dissolve into a three-way split. The other outcome here is that Carter could just take over the Ty Johnson role and Bam Knight just continue to both get work in the passing game and get all the early down carries. Like, Robert Saleh's not kidding. Like, he has been really enamored with everything Zonovan Knight has done, and the Jets need the run game in their identity. Carter hasn't done that in previous weeks, and James Robinson surely hasn't done that.
What do you think, Cody?
I love it. I think he's properly ranked. We have him as a top 24 running back this week. Mm-hmm. We saw 50% snap shares each of the last 2 weeks. Can he get into the double-digit fantasy points? Can he get the targets? I'm looking for targets. And if Ty Johnson and Michael Carter do play in this game and they come and take in any targets, that's really going to be my main, worry with Donovan Knight. But I think this game would be high scoring enough where you're going to get proper usage out of Donovan Knight. And I think he's going to be a top 24 guy.
Let's wrap it up there, fellas. Thank you both for another awesome episode. Everybody listening, please remember to check out my playbook on Fantasy Pros this season to make sure you're giving yourself the best possible chance to win each and every week. And do not forget about the opportunities we mentioned with Monkey Knife Fight and Manscaped. Most of all, thank you, the fans, for listening. For Cody and D-Bro, I'm Ryan Wormley. We'll see you again soon.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/Fantasy Pros.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.